for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSIP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome, everyone, to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Again, it is beautiful Wednesday afternoon after it was, forecast was no rain today, and it has rained most of this afternoon.
Enough.
Yeah.
It's rained enough.
Beautiful sun is out right now. Not a lot of clouds in the sky, but man, just west of Bowling Green at this moment is some severe tornado warnings, severe thunderstorm warnings. I see those boxes lit up pretty heavily right now in the western Kentucky area, which was also forecast to get here around 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning, but it's supposed to weaken as it comes east. We shall see, but it is a massive storm right now in western Kentucky. They're getting a light show, but like I said, they're right now active tornado warnings and severe thunderstorm warnings and flash flood warnings for the areas Bowling Green and west.
Yeah, at this point, we've had enough rain, you know, and we talked about that. I mean, even last week here was spring break, and, you know, the boys had one game on that Monday. The rest of the week was washed out. Yeah. This week so far, I think the boys had the game on Monday as well, but everything has basically been a wash. I mean, it's hard. You have moments like this where it's really nice, and all of a sudden now, out of nowhere, you'll get a storm to come through.
It's game time. This is, you know, everybody said, why can't you play that? It's game. Yeah, because it was going to take us, you know, 4 hours to get the field ready after what's happened to it today, unless you've got your tarp down. Obviously, softball doesn't have a tarp, but, you know, baseball, I think they do have a tarp. If you got your tarp down, like today, and had it tarped, you could probably go out and play today. This other system's probably not going to get here until after they finish up. So, I think the middle school, like you said, was scheduled to play. Whether or not that game is going, they've had to have had the field tarped if that was forecast, but I don't think all the rain we got today was in the forecast, so it kind of catches people off guard.
Yeah, and even at that point, at one point they said that a little bit of rain was going to come through
this morning.
Even this afternoon, you know, 3 o'clock, a little bit, but it really wasn't much of anything. It was almost like it kind of blew through real quick, dropped a little bit of rain, and just kind of moved on. It was more of a light rain.
But it was a light rain for about 2 hours. We had some concrete work done at the house, and they got the concrete poured and sprinkles and had to cover it up a little bit because it was starting to rain pretty heavily at times. But it was one of those, it's like a nuisance kind of rain. It's
right,
everything,
yeah.
The ground's already saturated and just. I looked at the softball field and I'm thinking, man, to play a game, this is Wednesday. We have games scheduled for Friday, and it is going to be a chore to get that field ready by Friday. So that's what people, I guess, just maybe don't get with baseball and softball. Sometimes it takes a while for our fields just to want to dry a little bit. Fortunately, the forecast for tomorrow and Thursday, cooler but sunny and windy. Again, I think they're calling for 35 to 45 mile an hour wind gust later on this evening here in town, and then the cold front comes through after the storm, so we will cool things off a little bit. But right now, if you're playing baseball right now or softball, it's pretty right now. Give it a couple more hours, and we'll be. Actually, they've just expanded those watch boxes or storm warning boxes out almost into Bowling Green now, so it is moving west with them. So those boxes are growing. So hopefully, Western Kentucky can be spared this time from the tornadic activity, but like I said, there are warnings active all over Western Kentucky right now.
Well, and like you were referring to as well, as far as even getting the fields ready, this isn't football.
Nope.
where you're going to play in all the elements. Yep. You know, it's not, it's irrelevant unless it's lightning, but if it's snowing, raining, or whatever else, you're going to play and your field's going to be what it's going to be. And obviously we've seen countless football games in the mud, and I mean, the field looks decent at first, and all of a sudden by the end of it, I mean, it's all tore up in a sense. But,
and you know, sometimes you play games when you probably shouldn't, and it may do more damage to your surface than not playing the game. I know even with last year with football and soccer going on at the same time, they had a big football game coming up, and they had a soccer game in the mud. And by the time they got finished, the field was trashed by for the game that came up on football, just because they played the game in those weather conditions, which soccer does. What gets back to that point? If we had a turf field with better drainage, then it doesn't matter what you play on that surface and what your conditions are like, because it's better for the kids, safer, much more efficient, and in the long run, cheaper in the long run, because we still put money into the football field, the soccer field, whatever you want to call it, annually to keep it up. And you could probably spread that over 10 years and have a new turf surface and be paid for.
And we've talked about that in the past as well, in that not everyone, but a lot of schools are going in that direction, have already gone in that direction. And it's time that Powell gets caught up in many respects to upgrade facilities, including going to an artificial surface.
And, you know, this is a time where, and almost I'll just speak bluntly here in Powell County, where we have an outgoing superintendent, whether you agree or disagree, doesn't matter at this point. We're looking for a new superintendent. To me, it's time to look for somebody that's progressive as far as come in here and get some stuff done athletically, bring some more pride back to the community. You know, we've hired a principal now that I know he's an athletic minded guy. We'll have to see what kind of a job he does, but I know where he stands as far as athletics. He loves athletics. He's been a coach for a long time. But the vision at the central office and superintendent, to me, could be really huge for our program going forward, because we're behind. We've got to catch up. I mean, people could say all they want to. We got to catch up academically first. Totally get it. But if you can bring some pride back by building up athletically, guess what follows? The academics is going to follow that. So if you can get pride back into one thing, there's pride back in the academic side. I think one builds off the other, and you get a win-win if you just have some better facilities, better places for the kids to go out and use some time where they just don't have the places to go right now. Today we had baseball practice, well, softball practice in the gym, volleyball's having spring workouts, cheerleading tryouts are tonight, baseball's in the gym because of the weather, and the middle school's has a game. Yesterday we were in there with the basketball team trying to split time with them as they're doing their summer program. There's no facilities for people to go practice right now. Megan told me on Monday it was basketball, maybe volleyball, track, and softball all in the gym at the same time, trying to find places to work out. We just, and sadly to say, we've said this on here before, we just don't have facilities here. And hopefully the Board of Education here takes heed of what we are lacking and can try to maybe drive some of their search in that direction. I hope that's what happens. But, you know, like I said, it doesn't really matter how you feel about Dr. Orr, because they've already made their decision. That's happening. So we're in the process now of looking for a new superintendent, and I hope they pick someone that's got some athletic vision, because we haven't had a lot of athletic changes here in the last 20 years.
Well, and if anything, too, you know, a lot of times within, you know, state government in a sense, you have a 10-year plan and a 5-year plan, and you kind of get down to it, and it seems like the 213 bridge, I mean, it's been on the, yeah, it's been a part of the plan, and fortunately it's happening, even though it's kind of a mess in a sense, but at least it's happening. But I feel like as well that
we're seeing progress finally. We're finally seeing progress.
And I think if anything, at least as an incoming superintendent, there needs to be that vision to say, you know what, we're going to put this on a plan, and even if that means you're putting money back for 5 years into a fund in order to purchase new facilities, you know, whether it's artificial turf or otherwise, to, again, to improve those. And it goes back even, as you mentioned, academically. I totally agree that when you have success in sports, that builds those kids up now all of a sudden to be better academically.
Yeah, and I know they're talking about budget cuts across the board in Powell County education from our board. I think that's the directive that a lot of the schools have got. Going to have maybe some staff reductions. And I know I'm talking about spending more money when we say that we don't have any. I cannot envision in our budget that we're that short. Maybe we are. Somebody's going to have to show that to me, because, I mean, I understand the numbers are what they are, and you got to kind of dictate by the numbers that you have in your schools. But with all the COVID money we've had here over the last little bit, and that can be used for
facilities,
yeah, which we really didn't utilize much of that, in my opinion, or I didn't see much of it utilized toward any kind of
long-term.
Nothing really long-term I've seen go up, so I don't know where it went and how it was utilized. I'm not saying anybody mismanaged it at all. I'm not saying that at all, but I don't see anything that we got out of it. I mean, I see these other places getting some pretty neat stuff going up, and we're really still in the, I don't know, I know the tax rate's not where we need it to be. I know the board takes a hit on that all the time. I think the board did a good job of going to the nickel, and I know we're talking politics here too, but you have to a little bit to think about things like this, because it affects, number one, where the tax money goes, because into the school system, it's going to go different directions. It gets funneled different places, and I get that. It's to help our kids, but let's help our kids long run. Let's help our kids be proud of their facilities that we have. And again, to me, that links directly into academics. I just think the two go hand in hand. When you see, you know, pride in athletics normally is followed by pride in academics, and they go hand in hand. Usually our best students are our athletes, because they're held more accountable than the other students.
Correct.
And with that being said, I don't have a problem holding kids accountable. I just think that's a normal thing that you do in athletics. That's part of your teaching. It's what you want the kids to get more than just a game out of this. They got a structure, time management, budgeting your time to go out and be able to do your classwork, be able to go out and work if you want to while you're still playing a sport. Those things are huge for a kid to grow up and be able to do. So hopefully we can get some things here progressively going forward. It's the right time to get those things done, but you got to put the right people in place to get that done.
Well, and even going back to the academic aspect of it, there's definitely a correlation between athletics and academics. With that being said, not that we don't need to improve academics, but I also blame the parents and the students for where we are academically. We're all afforded the same opportunity, okay? And I get, you can blame it on experience, and Tommy grew up in this poor family and this and that or whatever else. It goes back to, do you have a will to win in life? And therefore, I'm going to discipline myself in order to come out of the circumstance. You can be controlled by the environment, but the environment doesn't necessarily have to dictate your outcome.
Or shouldn't,
right. So therefore, if I'm, as a student, in a sense, regardless of my circumstances, it's up to me to educate myself and do the best I can,
yeah,
regardless of the subject, in order to be competitive in life. But if we choose not to be competitive, that's why academically we don't soar like we should.
Well, but I think academically our problems become more about the relationship with students. With that, with athletics, we're with these kids, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a night. And some of these kids don't get that much time with their parents. In a classroom, and I'm speaking high school here. I'm not talking about elementary, because that's a whole different ball game. At the high school level, I just don't see our people really kind of maybe concerned about what this kid's going home to, what their drawbacks are. We got to worry about getting this done, but let's understand what they got to go home to. Let's understand, you know, these kids are probably glad to be at school, maybe away from their environment for a little while and get a break, maybe get to have two good meals a day versus going on. We got to be able to take that kid and foster them forward so they can want to get out of that. And I think we're missing the connection. At least I've always had that thought, especially when I had kids. When kids came into my life with my two stepdaughters, but when I had them, it's like I got a whole different perspective on what kids need or what they may want or what they're going through. You learn totally differently when you have the kids at home, and I wish more people were more invested in the kids academically. But you got to build those personal connections. But sometimes the directives that you get from a central office or a principal or whatever, you don't want those connections. Listen, I taught for 27 years. The better connections I had with kids, the better they did in my class. And it was, that hardly never failed. And I really think if the teachers could have that kind of concept with all their students, forget it. You're going to succeed but I don't think we do enough of it. At least, I'm speaking only at the high school, because that's really the only place I've had experience with. I don't hear the same stories like from elementary schools. I hear it's better. But at high school, these kids are still kids, and we still have to be able to help them through.
Well, as early influencers at the elementary school, it's easy to get the most out of kids. And that's not to say that you get it
because
always.
They love you at the elementary school.
Correct. And there's that mutual understanding within that dynamic, in a sense that they know that you want the best for them. Now, are they mischievous and whatever else, and some kids don't want to do work? Absolutely. But it still goes back to, if the kid is willing, the parent has to be there to support that. And if academics is not important to you as a parent, it's not going to be important to your child in general terms. If sports is not important to you as a parent, sports is not going to be important to your child either. So whatever you're kind of into, in a sense, believe me, sometimes those kids don't fall too far from the tree as far as mimicking or following that. I mean, just even as an example, you know, sometimes, you know, you ask a kid, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? Well, sometimes kids will say over the years, again, I've been in the school system for over 20 years. At this point, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, I want to be like mom and dad. Oh, okay, well, great. What do they do? Well, they sit at home. You know what I'm saying? So the kid just wants to go home. They don't even want to educate themselves to get out of that circumstance because they want to mimic what it is that they see on a daily basis.
You know, I've changed my gears a little bit on expecting kids like all to go to college. Well, that's all well and good for some kids. There's a workforce out here that we need to keep kids to go through these technical schools.
100%. Schools. Absolutely.
We need to fill those bad boys up with our kids. And that, to me, gets these kids training. They don't have as much debt to pay back when they're finished.
Yep.
They go out with a skill that they can do a job and not break their backs every day working and just trying to make a dollar. There are many more outlets. You know, fortunate kids, you're going to college because, okay, maybe think, retrace and think why.
Unless you have a specific discipline that you're after, and obviously that's the route you have to take. Yep. But I agree. I wish we would do more in that vocational aspect of it. And think about this. How many plumbers do you know that are broke? Electricians or, you know, I'm just saying, like, they make great money based on the skill set that they have without skipping that college.
In Powell County, for an example, I think we have one licensed plumber and a couple, maybe three licensed electricians that don't work here. Now think about that. If you go into those areas, it's that thin. There's money to be made because the guys I know that can do electrical work, they're always busy and they can make some money. The plumber, they'll send the crew out. All of them are not master plumbers, but you don't have to have a master plumber all the time. There are good plumbers out there who can do the job, but there's only one master plumber in this county, and that's just. It's the same thing with HVAC guys. We have more and more of those, but we could even have more than what we have.
Yeah.
There are fields out there that I know the welding took a big leap for a while. Everybody went into the welding field or the HVAC field. We've had a big surplus of those. There are still other skilled jobs you can have out there that go to a trade school. You're not out much debt. You've got a trade when you get out. You're 20 years old and you're making pretty good money at 20 versus going to school, getting an education, and maybe a degree that doesn't matter. And you get out and you've got, well, I can't find a job. Well, then that part of the problem, now you've got this debt you got to pay back when you graduate, and now you don't know how you're going to be able to do that. So college is for those select few who actually know the profession they're going into. Everybody else needs to go find a trade school or military or whatever it may be and make the best they can of what they have. And again, I think our athletes can fit a lot of those roles because they're going to have good work ethic when they, I think, when they get out of school. Those are the kids with the best work ethic.
They're held at a higher standard. And ultimately, the discipline, time management, et cetera, right, at that point, you have to schedule when I'm doing my homework and when I'm practicing and when I'm doing the things that I need to in order to be successful on and off the field.
Yeah, I'm proud of all our kids who participate in athletics because they do go through extra grind that other kids don't have to. So I'm really proud of all of our athletes. But we got to really support them with, to me, better things that they can do.
And better facilities, for sure. And think about this, too. Look at how much the city park has changed over the last decade plus.
Man, I'm so proud of those people.
Correct. But look at the pride, though, within the community. Based on the addition of the fields and the upgrades and all of that. I mean, it's a better place than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, and part of that, again, back to the tax. It's not, you know, the restaurant tax has brought a lot of money in. People complained about having to pay it, but look what we have for it. Because we've got people along with the city council and doing the city park board. And those people they have a vision of going forward and what our kids need. They put the money in the right place. And that's, again, it's about the kids. So kudos for all those council members and board members and whatever else.
Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
and
they're doing a fantastic job. Just whenever you see them out, don't complain. Thank them.
And the facilities are being used. It's crazy how much they're being used. You can go on any day that there's nice weather. The ball courts are being played. People are on the walking track. I mean, there's people using ball practice, soccer, baseball.
It's so underappreciated and so used. We got to really thank our people here locally that drive those things. And, again, I think we can have the same kind of feel for the same things you're talking about with school.
Correct.
Athletics and different facilities. I think it would go so far with this community.
I totally agree.
Somebody could be a hero stepping into those jobs. So we shall see how it goes.
Somebody win the lottery.
Yeah, we're late for a break. We'll step away for a couple breaks here on PCSN Live.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. As a native Powell County, and I was taught a long time ago that nothing was better anywhere than it was right here in our hometown. That still holds true today when you're in the market for a newer used vehicle. Buying local not only stimulates our own economy, but enhances the very foundation of our community. I invite you to shop Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram before you leave to purchase a vehicle. I can assure you that you will be treated fairly and squarely right here at home.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Protec Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Hurt your ankle at practice? Or maybe you caught that stomach bug from your friend at school? Come to Clark Regional for the fastest and most effective care you can get from only the best of doctors. So, don't worry when you sprain your ankle making that crowd-pleasing flip. You'll be back on the field in no time.
Advancing quality care in our community. Text CHEER to 606-663-2811 to find out how you can support your Powell County cheerleaders.
Community. What does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranty Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
Welcome back. You folks listening to us, they expected sports. You got a political debate on how to use facilities. But, again, it's been a little bit of a lull week as far as local sports is concerned. As far as softball was concerned, we chose not to schedule a lot of games during spring break. The one game that was scheduled with Jackson County down there, I canceled it early because it was going to be like 42 and rain. I said, I'm not going to go play a game. It's not that important to play that game.
We actually had a little bit of snow that day.
Yes, we did. I'm thankful that we canceled, and you know, it just kind of follows through. The baseball on the flip side, Frank told me when I left practice and he was coming into practice that he has lost 9 games thus far this season. Due to weather. We're seven games in and haven't lost but one or two. I think 2 games. I don't know what the record is.
7-5.
So they've 12 games in but have lost 9. So Frank told me today there's only 4 weeks left of the season. And I know I looked at our schedule. I think it's a little bit more than 4 for me. It's 2 more weeks of April. 2 weeks, I guess that's right. 2 weeks of April, 2 more weeks of May. We're done. This year, the district tournament's moved up. It's going to be the 13th, 14th, which was before it was going to be our final week of the season. Now it will be our district tournament week, which leads right up to our regional tournament, which some districts are going to be starting that Friday, Saturday at the end of the week versus waiting until the Sunday, Monday. I mean, we still got to June. They get these things played. I don't know what the rush is. I know for baseball, the pitchers are fresh when they play their rounds, but for softball, I'm thinking, I don't really get why we're having to rush to finish these tournaments up, but that's what we're doing. We're playing, I think, our district softball, I think, is the 14th. I'm not sure when baseball may be starting on the 13th, that Monday. Some are even starting on Sunday. Again, you have to kind of check with your which different teams, different districts have different things that they're doing, but and I get the pitching part. The number of pitches that you got in a week that you can throw in baseball, have the pitchers fresh by the end of the week. I get why they're kind of pushing. I still haven't figured out why we're pushing, other than because baseball's pushing. We've got to push too.
That's probably the only reason why. I mean, yeah. It's probably and or potentially facilities down the road.
Well, I think policy board makes these decisions, like 14th Region Policy Board, and I'm not knocking them. They got a hard job to do, but my one comment to our member was, why are you speeding us up? You know, we don't have the pitching regulations that baseball does. We could slow down, and we still don't play the state tournament until this. We could, and these coaches that win regions with a week off, that's probably not wise.
Agreed. You know? And we talked about that even in the basketball season.
Yeah.
the same thing. I mean, that's a long time to have to wait after a district tournament to get into a regional and or after a regional to get to the state.
I get it, a couple of days, maybe off days that you got to recover a little bit. I get that, but you get rusty in a week. I think you lose your edge.
You do. I agree with that.
Two or three days go play and we're ready to go, get your couple days break, get your pitching back in line where you need it to be and go play. At least for softball, that's the way I see it. In the baseball, I get getting your alignment going, getting your pitching rotation set, how you want it to be for the regional matchups. I get that. And at the end of the season, you got to kind of back off that last week because you got to get them ready for tournament week to get those pitchers lined up. So you won't see any aces going, Friday and Saturday that last week. You're going to see a lot of guys throwing that may have never pitched before. So it's going to be some ugly baseball, I think, that last 3 or 4 days of the season because most of your guys are already set in the rotation.
Yeah, and at that point, it's not necessarily going to matter as far as who you're going to match up at the district. You're not going to play a late game like that district-wise, I'm saying, to kind of close that. But even going back to, let's use NCAA women's basketball, UK Lady Cats, they ended up winning the SEC tournament. I mean, defeated three ranked teams, to win the championship, only to take a week off, and all of a sudden you're in the NCAA tournament, and I felt like that momentum that they had was lost. So had they played, taken like 3 days and then played, they might have been right on track.
The teams with momentum don't want to break.
Correct.
Look back at baseball, Major League Baseball, the last few years. The wild card teams have done really well because they get the play-in game, the red up. And they had to be at that fever pitch a week before.
Prior, correct, yes.
Their tournament, their postseason starts at the end of the regular season because they got to get there.
Correct.
And if those teams, like not knocking the Dodgers and the Padres, what they did, they were still battling for the division title, which was a good thing that they had something to fight for.
Right.
But they're kind of in coast mode, too. They're in the playoffs. We're set. We just don't want to be the wild card. One of them had to be the wild card and go in and had to face Atlanta, who was, I think, they were a wild card last year, right?
They were.
And kudos, world champions. So, I'm not maybe the division winner, but regardless, I think they were hot at the right time. And, the teams that have done well in baseball are the teams that didn't take 4 days off.
Correct.
They just kept going. And the momentum just was there. And I just think, you lose an edge. I think even UK men, I think Coach Calipari, I think he always said, well, it doesn't really matter about the tournament. We still got a few days off while we begin the big tournament. Yet I think after they got beat, they just went totally flat. They just didn't have the bounce back. I'm not knocking the team that beat them in the first round. Kentucky played them about as well as anybody else did. But the fact is they were not on their best game on the NCAA tournament. Well, you won't be peaking at that time, and UK didn't. UK women did, but then they dropped the ball in the...
Yeah, against Princeton.
I say they dropped the ball. Princeton was underrated. They were ranked top 20 and get a 12 seed. I mean, they only lost 3 games all season. That was a really good team that was underrated by the committee.
That goes back to the disrespect of these smaller leagues, for lack of a better way of putting it.
That was mid-majors. A good program that Kentucky ran into, and you just kind of didn't need to see it coming. With the women, I think they had a little bit more of an excuse than the men did. They just kind of laid an egg against a team who was hungry and was taught to believe they could beat anybody, and guess what? They did. Well, and did it 3 times. So
you're right. And on one hand, though, that even goes back to as far as the high school level. You have to have that mentality, but you also have to put forth the effort and the training, et cetera, in order to get yourself over that hump.
This is going to sound weird. It's not easy to beat teams like, and I'm talking softball, it's not easy to beat teams like Estill County because you've got to keep rebuilding from the feeder program up. Every year you've got to rebuild and replenish your system. But to me, I'm not saying it's easy, but man, when you're playing expecting every game to win, we're having to struggle to find a win. I know which one's harder. It's hard to lose and try to find the way to win. It's probably not real hard to take a good group and be successful. And I'm not knocking what they're doing over there, but I'm really kind of, they're so fortunate to have the reload. Other teams in this region, softball to me has came so far. You know, I started fast pitch softball in 95, the first year of fast pitch softball in Kentucky. And we were just barely throwing, fast pitch. I mean, it was like, it was still modified slow pitch with a less arc.
Right, pitch, sure, you know? Yeah.
But pitchers kept getting better and better. And now the game is, pitchers are better than we've ever had them and getting hit harder than they've ever been hit. It's just, it's a game that is caught up. It's evolved. The hitting now is just off the charts. The pitching is as good as it's ever been as far as here in this area. You take a team like Perry Central, who defeated Estes County last week, 4-1. Had to be a surprise to the Lady Engineers, but not to Perry Central. I think they were playing that game with the expectations of winning. And that's the kind of the culture that some of these teams are building with Knott County, Breathitt County, Wolf County. These are teams that used to be talked about as that they'll make it to the first round and then they're going to get beat. Now these are all contenders to win a region. Wolf County won the region last year in softball. And I think they've won it a couple times. So we're not talking flukes. When you can do it and repeat it, you're pretty good.
But you mentioned a key word to me, culture. Think about this. When over in Estill County, I think this is, you know, let's take away feeder programs, et cetera. But those kids, year in and year out, think they're champions. They play like champions. They put the effort that a champion would put into, whether it's off-season conditioning, in-season practice, et cetera. So, therefore, when they step on the court or the field, what are they expecting to do? They're expecting to win. There's no other option in their mind that they're going to lose along those lines.
Here's the thing. But I can think back of days when I was in high school and we played baseball. Anytime we traveled to Estill County, we weren't expecting to go over there and win. Their program, I think, was that much more solid. We're talking 40-plus years ago. They've had that tradition of being a solid baseball program, solid football program. They've had these programs a lot longer and a lot more successful than we've had. They were just in a really, really tough region for a long time, and it was hard for them to compete. When you put that mindset into a 14th region team who's just, you know, for years got beat to death in the 10th, they come to the 14th, they're saying, man, this is not hard, you know? So now you're seeing the growth in basketball, especially in men's basketball. They're really pushing to where they're now regional contenders most of the time. Girls basketball, that can scare people from time to time. Softball, obviously, to me, the region always runs through Estill County, so you have to knock them off to win. That's the way it's been for the last 2000 to 2005 since they came into the region. But like I said, before 2005, when we were not in their region, if you had to schedule them, it wasn't going to be a fun day for you. You were probably going to go take your licks and come home.
But that success breeds success.
That is exactly right.
And therefore, again, if you come up with that mentality that you're the best, therefore, you're going to have that. Let's just even go to UK football as the example. So prior to Stoops coming in, they weren't necessarily playing to win. They were playing to not lose. Well, he had to come in and change the culture. Now, granted, yes, he's gotten some better recruits and things along those lines.
But look what UK has put into football.
They've invested.
With the Nutter Center, with the field house, with the things that they have built around that program to help build it. You know, Stoops was a good hire to build to change the culture, but what UK and I will say the athletic director and the board, they put money behind it. They've done the same thing with their softball facilities, their baseball facilities. Now there is now pride behind those, and what are you seeing now? You're seeing a national contender in, forget about basketball, you're seeing a national contender every year in softball. You're seeing a baseball team, I think, who is getting better every year. Now you've got a football team who is arguably excelling past your basketball team, your men's basketball team. You're seeing a women's program Now, they've lost a lot of players who have left, decided to leave. Where it goes from here, I don't know. But since they had a change a couple few years ago with, what's the guy, coach's name?
Which sport are you talking?
Women's basketball.
Mitchell. That left. Matthew Mitchell.
Yeah. He changed UK women's basketball, in my opinion.
Well, it was prior to him, and I cannot remember the female coach's name.
Locke Maddox, I think, got the start.
Correct.
We can go back to her, and I think.
And then there was another assistant coach that came from Tennessee. That a female, and I can't remember what,
and then
blonde-headed.
Mitchell, the same kind of path.
He followed her. Yes. Yeah, so,
you know, we've had, what, four coaches now that have changing the culture of women's basketball to where you're talking about SEC champion, SEC tournament champion, Kentucky. But again, if you go down and look at those facilities that they have right now, I don't know who could be better as far as a total athletic program. I think you put UK up with against everybody. I mean, look, even with cheer. Now, since their coach left a couple years ago, they haven't had the success. But, man, I mean, even like you had the Olympian who was a rifle, right?
Yeah.
Kentucky, and that I think that person transferred this year. But, man, the stuff that they have down there, but it's about facilities and pride. And we can do that in Kentucky. If we can do that in Lexington, ain't no reason you can't do it in Powell County.
Well, even think about this. You know, a lot of people don't necessarily like change. We've kind of talked about this, I guess, in a sense, at different times. But look at how nobody, well, I wouldn't say nobody, a lot of people were against the expansion of the main intersection in Stanton, you know, to expand it. Of course, it was troubles and headaches or whatever else. But then they put up the street lights and everything, kind of a beautification or whatever else. After it was all said and done, there was a certain amount of pride within the community. Right.
I'll go this far. Can you remember back when it was just two lanes?
Vaguely. And even though it was that way forever and a day.
I mean, but I'm thinking, how do we get as much traffic that goes through there? How do we do it?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good move, obviously. But when I was 16 years old, I'm thinking, we got two roads. We're going this way, we're going this way. Who cares about the middle? I mean, there was a lot of traffic then, but we dealt with it. But, man, the traffic that you see now here in Stanton, what you're going to see in the future because of the way things have gone here locally with the sales of properties, I think we're getting ready to blow up. And somebody better be ahead of the game here locally to keep up.
But we also should have the powers that be. This should have been something that happened 20-plus years ago. There's no reason that we shouldn't have more than what we have in this community. And I get the people, they don't want to change. Oh, it's always been this way. You have to change. If not, you become stale and stagnant, and you fall behind everybody else.
If progress scares you, look at everybody else. That's
well, life is progress, even if it's personal.
But I mean, you know, look, we used to, when we went to EKU, it was a nice, really, you think, a small
agreed.
Campus.
You're right.
Small town. Not anymore. I mean, Lexington has grown outward. They have swallowed now Richmond. They're swallowing Clark. They're moving into Powell. You know, a lot of people who are buying homes in Powell County right now are from Fayette County because it's cheaper than what they would get there for the size they're buying, yet the prices here are, like, so high, it's, like, stupid. You can't have one that high. But people down from the Lexington side are saying, hey, I can get a 2,400-square-foot house for the same price in Lexington as I get a 1,200-square-foot house. I'm taking the 2,400.
Correct. Yeah, and I'll drive. I'll commute.
Listen, it's 30 minutes. 30 minutes to Hamburg. 35, maybe. I mean, it's 30, 35 minutes to Hamburg from here. If you're on the other side of Lexington, it's 30 minutes to Lexington.
Well, obviously, once they expanded the interstate there at Winchester, right at that point, you go to three lanes. Well, I mean, it takes no time.
Look at a small picture. Look at Jackson. What used to take us an hour is now 35 minutes. You know, we've even progressed east.
Even going down the Mountain Parkway, it's crazy. It's once you get past Wolf County, it's crazy the amount of progress. And I wish on one hand, I go basically, east once a month to go to Paintsville. But I wish at that point, like, I would have had a video I mean, like where we go, like now we're going over the mountains in a sense. You know, they're building all kinds of bridges and everything. It's like it's going to be completely different. And that'll be one of those situations like you referred to. It'll be like, remember when it used to just be the two lanes? And it's going to be hard to remember because they're changing the route.
I try to go to Sagersville when my dad was toll director. We'd drive up that way a lot and stop at the Sagersville Toll Plaza. The last one, you know, and I'm thinking, I can't even remember where it was now. Because it's grown so much, I can't even picture where that place was, where that stopped. I can still remember Walterville. I can still remember where Slade was. I can still remember Campton. I can't find Sagersville.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a, I don't know. It's just, it's different pictures of what we're looking at. You know, you got multiple exits coming off Clay City. We're going to need one up around the Bowen area. To me, you need one maybe around, even Roslyn would be a good place now for the next one, because I think this community is growing. Slade's going to develop into a different culture. So we're going to see a lot of growth here in the county on the eastern, southeastern end. In my opinion, here in the next 10 years, it's going to blow up, I think. And everything has really been packed. It's moving kind of southeast. Where we're used to, it was going west. Now it's coming back at us.
Right.
And we're building that direction. So a lot of fun things are going on here in Powell County. I think the growth is going to be fun to watch, but we got to keep up with other people on facilities and infrastructure and some things like that. We got to get, you know, internet's one of the big deals. I think they're talking politically now.
Right.
Got to get the good internet going around everywhere. It's here. just flip it on. Flip the switch, you know, let us have it.
Correct.
It's already here. We just got to be able to flip that switch. It's frustrating, but...
Well, and even going back to infrastructure, there are a lot of things, though, that we lacked as far as even industry coming in. We didn't have the capacity, whether it was the water plant, the sewer plant, et cetera.
And probably still don't, what they say, right?
Correct. And again, if we don't start finding grant monies or something in order to upgrade these facilities, we're always going to be stagnant in a sense, and everybody else is going to grow around us, and we're going to fall behind.
I'm not going to say what party I am. I believe that I'm not going to always complain about taxes now, because if you see all the good that's coming out of the tax money, if it's used properly, we could grow. If it's used negatively, then we all suffer. But, like I said, the Stanton City Council, the Parks Board, that group is on top of it. So I'm not politican for anybody, but they've done a really good job for our community. We need our school board and our superintendent, incoming superintendent, they kind of do the same thing with our athletic program and our schools. We need upgrades. We need
been neglected.
We need
for
improvements.
Decades.
We got to get better with what we have. But I don't know where all this money we had to fix facilities has gone to. But again, that's a whole different story. But we're going to take another break here on PCS and I come back. We're actually going to talk about what's coming up sports wise here after the break.
. 83% of customers who buy from Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram buy again because of great deals, great service, and a simple way of doing business. The President's Day sales event is going on for a limited time, and all new 2022 Ram pickups are priced to sell. Come see why the Ram truck is Truck of the Year for the last 3 years and for 2022. Also, come see why Tanner is the best place to buy. Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, just off the Mountain Parkway in Stanton.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
You're listening to Pickup Country 104.9 FM, the official home of the Powell County Sports Network. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at listenlikealocal.com for a full schedule of this season's events. This coverage made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, and Citizens Guarantee Bank. Go Pirates!
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Are you ready for warm weather and a little sunshine? The Appalachian Wireless team has decided to have the ultimate spring break event. A sale so big with so many savings opportunities, you'll be thinking it's Christmas in April. The spring break event is going on now through the end of April, and all smartphones are on sale with Appalachian Advantage. Spring into an Appalachian Wireless retail location or visit us on the web to see what deals have sprung at our spring break event. We know what you want because we are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
Welcome back to PCSN Live. I told you we have a sports show here in a minute. Upcoming, we have some games to talk about, I guess. Baseball, do they play tomorrow or are they off again tomorrow?
Baseball, actually, well, over spring break, they end up playing Paris and won 4-3. And then they lost to Hazard in six innings, 12-2, and lost to Bluegrass United this past Monday, 10-6. So coming up now, they'll play tomorrow at Menifee County, wow, home on Friday against Menifee County. So basically back-to-back games in a sense, one away and then one home. And then on the 16th, which is Saturday, they're playing at Owsley County, one of the makeup games, exactly. And then next Monday, they'll be playing at Bath County. And then coming up on the 19th, Estill at Powell.
Big game there.
Yeah.
On the 19th. So if you got that plugged into your calendar, that's going to be a good one here, I think, here at Powell County next Tuesday.
Correct. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the one definitely pencil in. But until then, come out and support your Powell County Pirates Friday night at home with Menifee. And they'll travel to Menifee tomorrow night, weather permitting.
Supposed to be nice, but
well,
who knows what the rains.
Is, but yeah, this guy that's coming through, I'm telling
you. Yeah, there's
like
no telling what kind of damage.
The watch boxes have not expanded past Bowling Green, but they're kind of staying right in front of the system. So we're still probably a couple hours away from getting this bad boy coming through. So it's a lot of heavy rain, and I still think we're going to have the heavy rain. I'm not sure the strength of the storm by the time it gets here, but right, it doesn't look good if you're in Bowling Green coming at you. A lot of red, a lot of yellow, orange. Very colorful storm on radar anyway.
And as you mentioned, it takes hours in a sense if you're not tarped or whatever else in order to get the field ready.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that,
like I said, I think hopefully they have theirs tarped. If the Bills will play tonight, they can tarp it again. This won't affect it that much. You'll still have standing water probably in the outfield and around the dugouts, which is a problem, but hopefully they'll retarp after the game tonight and be ready to go for Friday. But again, like you said, on Saturday as well. So busy time for Balcony Baseball with Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday. We're off on Easter Sunday. That's it for boys, right?
Yeah, and then they'll turn around and play on Thursday and Friday. You know, So I mean, it's no rest for the weary in a sense.
No,
but at the same time, having nine games canceled, I'm not sure. I'd have to look back the original schedule in a sense to see if any of these are additional makeups or anything
we
that
they
penciled in.
Well, the Owsley is additional. Right?
Correct.
I think the Menifee game was always been this back-to-back dates. I think has always been the same. It's hard to reschedule games now with other teams because they don't have the same opens that you do. And
right,
it's really tough unless it's a district game that you have to make up, which I know a lot of our schedule, we leave Wednesdays open. If we have to have a district makeup game, we can just throw it to the Wednesday because you can't play four consecutive weeknights in a row. You can't play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You can play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but you can't play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Right. And that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know,
four nights in a row.
Exactly. Yeah, I get that in a sense because obviously going back to the academics, it's very important in a sense. And obviously whether it's mental, you know, health in a sense, whatever, kind of take a break and get regrouped, whether you win or lose, and, you know, kind of
stay
give
fresh.
Yourself a little, yeah, exactly, yeah. Stay
you,
fresh
you,
and kind
you
of move along.
The more things you do, the more you keep your brain occupied, the better you do in school, I think. You know, it's tough. You know, for the girls' side of it, we've had a game scheduled, I think, Monday with Model that was canceled, so we haven't done anything for almost 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
It's been, last Friday, we lost to Owsley County. First time that's happened in, I think, about eight years, I believe, we'll look back at. So it's been 8 years, and since then, I can't remember the time.
They'd only won one game. That was it. That was at the 2015, was that the last
14
loss,
15, last
somewhere
time,
14, around in there?
I think it was the last loss to Owsley County, and I remember that date.
I think the record's like 42-1, though, prior to that game.
We had our prom was coming up the next day, and I went ballistic. Now, last week we really we just got outplayed. I mean, they outplayed us. They beat us any way you could. So kudos to them on improving their program and getting a little bit better. And you know, we've not answered the call. So we've got to do better, and we're working hard right now to get better. We've had a lot of gym time. We haven't been able to be on the field, so we'll see how the defense holds up. But
and hopefully the time off, in a sense, to be able to focus on some of the batting, well, in a sense.
You might forget that we were on a losing streak. You know what I'm saying? It's just maybe we can
correct,
just
yeah. Check out, check, and let's start, yeah, over like a brand new season.
Restart here, yeah, coming up on Friday, which if you're looking at your schedules, there are some changes on the schedule for the girls. We'll play Friday versus Lee County district game. That game was originally scheduled for the 26th. The coach had some commitments that he had on the 26th, so it's a new coach. Danny Wright's actually taking over the softball program. So he had to move that game, so he asked me to move it to Friday, which we agreed to. And we actually had Knott County coming on Friday, and they are involved in the 14th Region All-A. Semifinals, I think, are tomorrow night. Finals are Friday, so they have a good chance. If they can defeat Breathitt County, which one of those two teams is probably the favorite, to win the All-A. Both of them are hot teams coming in. They defeated Wolf last night 6-5 in the 7th. So it should be a really good game with Knott and Breathitt. I think it's tomorrow night. Not positive of that. And then Jackson City Hazard on the flip side in the other semifinal round game. And those two teams meet on Friday, which is why we canceled the Knott County game here. So it will be Powell County at 5:30. That's a time change as well. And it'll be Morgan County will come in and play in Knott County slot. And we'll play Morgan County at 7-ish, whenever the completion, about 10 minutes after completion of the first game.
And on one hand, it's, as you said, as far as like being able to change opponents or whatever else to be able to schedule those things in, at least you're able to get somebody to kind of fill in those gaps. But it always amazes me, in a sense, you know, when we talk about the All-A, and it doesn't matter if it's basketball or softball, baseball, whatever, it's always interesting, though, that Powell is not included in that, because it's always – it's the teams that Powell plays,
well,
within the region.
Four teams in the 14th region who are not All-A. That is Powell, Estill, Letcher, and Perry.
Perry, right, yeah.
Those are the four non-All-A schools. Next year, we'll have an addition. Next year, we're starting a 2A tournament. So we are in a region with Estill, Rowan, Bath, Greenup. I can't think of another school. But that's our region for next year. So we'll do the same kind of thing. It's not the 14th. There's only us and Estill. I guess the only 2A schools in the 14th. And then you have Letcher and Perry, who are 3A or 4A. They're above us. So we'll be competing next year for that 2A playoff. So you'll see, hopefully, we'll have weeks of play where we may bet. It's hard to get these All-A teams to play, and it's hard to get the 2A teams if they're scheduled to play, because they're playing their tournaments, and it's just kind of, but the state kind of sets it up, and then we go play when we're supposed to.
It almost reminds me of, I don't know if people are soccer fans in a sense, but it almost reminds me of like the English Premier League. But then you also have like the Champions League, mm-hmm, from the previous year, however you finish within your own leagues. And then you've got a cross between the German teams and the Italian teams and the Spanish teams with the English teams. Yeah. So then you're working those matches in between your regular season matches in order to play for a championship that was kind of based on last year's numbers.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're talking about now, like, okay, football, there's 6A, right? There's six,
yeah,
classes. But in baseball, softball now, there's only three classifications. There's class 1A, 2A, and 3A. So if you're not 2A, you're 3A. And I'm just waiting for the 3A tournaments to start, because, you know, if you're Perry and Letcher, you're saying, okay, why don't we have a place to play? You know, for years I've said, okay, they have an All-A, why don't we have a place to go play? Now it was offered to us. It has to be a total district commitment, but you can opt out. And I think we've had a couple teams who have opted out of playing that. But this is not just baseball, softball. This is everybody can opt in. It can be, it's basketball, it's soccer, it's everybody's included. So it's, they'll have a 2A state championship, just like they have the class A championship. And eventually, I would think they would have the 3A. And I think if you're not careful, they get you in the classification system where I think they'd eventually want to go to 4 or 6. And, man, you're talking about outreach is tough enough. But if you take, you know, right where it is right now, you take Powell, Estill, Perry, and Letcher, that's your district.
Right.
I'm just using those four.
Yeah, as an example, sure.
The only four left. So here's your, I'm not saying that would be your district, but like now we're with Rowan, Bath, Greenup. We're not talking about easy, you know, we're probably right now the lowest rated of any of those teams that are in that 2A region. So probably everybody's going to say, hope we draw Powell. And hopefully right. We'll improve enough to say, okay, maybe not. You know, that's kind of where we want to get to. But we've got to do some improving on our own and see where we go. So I know I told our girls, we gave them a day off. We're going to give them a day off. We didn't want to change their mind. Just had pitchers and catchers come in Monday. But after this week, we're done with days off. It's every day. We'll have one opening now, April 26th, where Lee County changed the date. That's the only opening we have for the rest of the season until May 13th, which is a Friday or maybe 11th. But it's a Friday night game, and we don't play, and we go to Letcher and play, too, on Saturday. So we have two off days the remainder of the year. So, and that's, I think that's including Saturdays, where there's one more Saturday off, which is prom Saturday. We'll be taking that day off. So we're done with days off for softball.
Well, and on one hand, it's crazy in a sense how fast things change, yeah. Right? Because all of a sudden, like you said, even the baseball, right? All of a sudden, you're missing out on 9 games. That's a lot of experience. It's a lot of games that you're missing out on. And even going back to the All A, in a sense, one thing that's unique about the Sweet 16 doesn't matter. Exactly, which is interesting in itself.
We still have the big tournament, and that's for everybody. The only one that doesn't have the big tournament is football. But I think eventually, I don't want to go there. Eventually, you're going to see a classification system take over. I don't like it. I like what we've got. This is our region. I don't want that. You talk about change a while ago, right?
Yeah.
I'm not for it, but eventually it's probably going to happen. And it may happen because it's a 2-hour drive still to Letcher. It's 20 minutes to Montgomery. It's 20 minutes to Clark. It's 20 minutes. You know, it's 30 minutes to Bath. We're close to all these. It's now 30 minutes to South Lexington. So we're not, or East Lexington, I guess. We're not that far away from a lot of bigger places now with the way the roads have improved and everything else has gone.
But that's where it goes back to improving facilities in order to be able to potentially compete. Exactly.
We're behind. We got to do some catching up. So hopefully
facilities, but then obviously we've talked time and time again about the feeder program. Those things have to improve as well.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go there. For a different day. We're about out of time. So we're going to step away for a break. We'll come back for some closing words. Then we'll be signing off here on PCSN Live on WSKB 104.9 FM.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware, right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back here again. We're over time again, like we do sometimes. We get to talking, and again, I think we have good conversations, so I don't know whether you all like them or not, but it is what it is. A couple things before we go off the air. Again, if you watched the Masters, which I did this weekend, so proud of Tiger Woods for being able to finish. Played well the first couple of days and just had the putting bug, I think. Just didn't putt well, which was not really, has ever been that big of a weakness for him. But, man, the play of,
Scheffler.
Scotty Scheffler. Unbelievable. Who's the number one player in the world. He's just on fire right now. Now, when he got to 18 with a, what was it, a five-shot lead?
He got a little nervous there at the end, didn't he? Yeah, the pressure was on.
Yeah,
fortunately, he had a large lead.
He took, a four or five putt at that green to still, yeah, win by, still win by three or whatever he won by. But
did he have 12?
I think it was 12
at 12 to 12 to 5.
Seven was second place. So
He, 5-point lead, right?
Five-stroke lead going into that last hole and just.
And finished 10 to 7, three strokes
yeah,
up.
Yeah, he still won by three, but he had smiles. I like the crowd, though. Give him a standing ovation after he missed that putt. So he kind of got to breathe and relax and enjoy the moment. And
the crowd was great all week. Oh, I watched a lot of it, too. The crowd was absolutely amazing.
The mass at Augusta.
Beautiful.
The best golf fans. Absolutely. In the sport of golf. When you go to Phoenix, they're crazy. They're just wild. Great. It's a different. At Augusta, it's with dignity. It's just more. I don't know. It's just.
Well, even going back to the two shots of Rory, McIlroy, his out of the bunker, and then was it Nah?
I can't remember who was playing with him, but it was like, okay, I'm going to take this angle and make the shot. You're going to take this angle. You're going to make the same shot.
You know, out of the bunker, both of them.
One took a direct line, and Rory went actually about 35 feet above the hole and knew what the break was. It's just a beautifully played shot by McIlroy. So
there were a lot of great shots.
He
that
shot,
week.
I think that when they said it was a Sunday low round of
64. Yeah,
played phenomenal. I think had a couple chip ins, and I would have loved to have seen him win. But Scheffler was just at too big of a lead.
He was on fire.
Cameron Smith kind of came back, made a nice comeback, and then gave
just
it away.
Lost it. Just kind of lost it in a sense. But that happens. Yeah.
One shot got him. But I tell you what, it's a beautiful golf tournament. I just enjoy watching it. I know Dee and the girls always get mad because, can you watch any more golf? I keep telling you, it's the Masters. You know, it's not just a golf tournament. I'm not watching the Phoenix Open or.
Well, the course is so challenging. And the shots that these professionals make is unbelievable. I mean, it is.
I just thoroughly enjoy watching the Masters and think about Tiger. He's now announced he will play in the British Open. So, tell you what, if you watch any of the Masters, when Tiger was playing, they showed every single shot again with Tiger. It's just, you almost feel bad for Scotty Scheffler because it was the story. He wins the Masters, and the story's still about how well Tiger played. You know, it's just.
Well, they even had on ESPN Plus. I have the app. And so at that point, you know, you can follow certain people. Yeah. I mean, they had cameras on him, like you said, the whole time. Not that they weren't showing it on the regular screen in
even
a sense,
the,
but
even
still.
The practice
just,
range. But it's every shot of Tiger. You could have watched it there on ESPN Plus. I did every shot. And then they kind of clipped in. It was about a little bit of a delay when they showed it on regular TV. But I had the Masters app also, and I could watch him out the whole round on there. But it was just—it's a great golf tournament. I love it. It's
well, even as
like,
we were...
that was only I used to take off for the Masters, Daytona 500, and then I got to where I wanted to take off for the British Open. That's my big three, I guess is. Now they moved to Daytona. I don't have to worry about it. Now those twins, they used to take off on Thursday, watch the twins.
Right.
Now they're night races, so we don't have to worry about it. But, you know, Daytona, I still love to watch on a Sunday. But the Masters, there's nothing better than the Masters on Sunday evening.
No, I think you're exactly right. And we were even talking last week as far as golf or whatever else, how there's not necessarily that Tiger Woods in professional golf now. You've got a lot of great players, whether it's Johnson, Thomas.
It doesn't matter.
Scheffler.
Throw
I mean, you know.
Just basketball one out, and you're going to find a good golfer.
You're exactly right. But yet, nobody's been consistent other than Scheffler here
this
starting
week,
off the last.
This year. This last 3 months. He's won. That was his fourth win in the last six tournaments. He's just on fire. Cameron Smith got the win at the Players. The kind of sandwiched in between all of the Scheffler's other ones where he vaulted from 15 to 1 within five tournaments. So, kudos to Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, in a sense, that's what makes even professional golf interesting as well, because you never know at any given course, almost like the NCAA tournament, who's going to show up and who's going to kind of run away with things.
Well, I think there are certain players at Augusta that have a better chance than others. Because
of course.
The way they swing, the different kind of shots they hit, those are the players that are going to contend. If you can scramble and you can putt, you're going to challenge. You need a little bit of a fade, I think, more than a draw. Draw gets you in trouble at Augusta, but you need one a couple holes. But it's only a couple shots. But the rest of the time, you can blow it out with a big fade, and you're fine. And then Scheffler did that most of the tournament. And Tiger drove the ball really well. That's one of the things that you'd think he'd be weak on. But there was a lot about his game that I was very proud of with him. And but again, it's just a great golf tournament. So if you don't like watching golf, a lot of people don't like to watch. They don't like watching golf. I get it.
But if you're going to watch any golf, that's the one to watch.
Again,
yeah.
I like to watch the British Open, especially when it's at St. Andrews. That's where it's going to be this year. That's a whole different first place of golf.
But that course in and of itself is just, it's so bland based on the landscape.
It's a links course, yeah.
Yeah, the beauty of Augusta, and then you turn around at St. Andrews, and you're just like, it almost looks like somebody took a wheat field and
It's American golf versus European golf.
Well, there you go, yes.
The British Isles.
Yeah.
We're near there, it's just hit it on the ground, let it run, and it'll find
and pray the wind doesn't, affect you. Winds coming in.
You got to be able to hit that 10-foot line drive.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to hit that shot all day long at there. So, but again, upcoming, I think you're covering the girls Friday night Lee County game.
Well, we were originally going to do the boys originally, right? But see, that was before you kind of made that switch or whatever else. So I don't know. I'll have to talk to the GM and make that switch.
Either the Menifee County game with baseball or the Lee County softball game will be on WSKV. So tune in.
Yes,
or come support.
5:30 anyway. So, yeah.
5:30 and 6:00, I think, are the two start times for. Yeah. No softball, baseball. So, but come out and support your Pirates and Lady Pirates in the next couple of weeks. We're going to need your support. So, again, thanks everybody for listening to our show. We're going to sign off. We're going to have a couple of breaks to listen to. But thanks for listening here to PCSN Live.
Your hometown's where you want to raise your family. Where being loyal to a friend's the only way.
Hello, this is Daryl Billings for Tanner Chrysler Products here in Stanton. Years ago, my parents taught me that treating people fairly was the way to survive in any endeavor. I invite you to come see us before you leave our community to buy a vehicle. You will find that our comfortable down-home environment is one we take great pride in providing to our customers and the community we love. Our future generation will thank us for buying local.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep, Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
WSKV 104.9 Pickup Country.